We have a Top Gun in the studio. Major Rob Novotny's here. He's laughing because he's probably sick of that song, aren't you? Everywhere you go, they play the Top Gun music, don't they?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say that. It's just funny that I've heard that song played before.
Yeah, I bet you have. Major Rob Novotny is a Top Gun fighter pilot. He is the chief of the F-15C division of the 422nd Test and Evaluation Squadron at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. But today he's in town here in St. Louis for the kickoff of Fighter Pilot Operation Red Flag, the new movie at the fantastic Omnimax Theater over at the St. Louis Science Center. And you just came from a meet and greet and the first showing of the movie, didn't you?
I did. We were over there all morning. We've got such a great setup we were talking about. There's so many kids over there right now that are excited about science and aviation and to meet them and get their just questions that they're great questions.
What's a typical kid question for you?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I had some questions today about North Korea.
Oh, my God. From kids?
Like a five-year-old. And
wow.
And so I was like, oh, okay. Okay, Mom and Dad, do you turn off CNN when the kids are in the house? But
maybe Blue's Clues instead of right. Wolf Blitzer.
Where's Waldo or Dora the Explorer? But
yeah.
Actually, you know, just, you know, how'd you get into flying and is it tough and what did you study in school? And
oh, wait a second. So, what about North Korea? You didn't answer the question.
It was a pretty simple question. Have they shot missiles at you? And I said, well, not yet.
Not yet.
So next question.
That's a good one. Did you come in here in your own F-15C?
No.
They don't give you one to fly town to town to do promotion for the movie?
You have my Air Force confused with another by answering force. No, I flew on Southwest Airlines and two packs of peanuts and a Diet Coke. I had to drink in about 8 seconds because the flight was so short.
Yeah, because it was up and down. That was it.
Now, when you're flying and somebody else is driving.
It's driving me nuts.
That's my question.
Driving me. On a good weather day, clear weather day, I have all the confidence. But and these guys are great pilots. They're all a lot of them former military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when it's like bad weather and there's thunderstorms around, I'd really like to be up front.
Are you a white knuckle flyer and coach?
Yeah,
he's a backseat driver.
Just to be a coach, I'm a white knuckle flyer. Yeah, I just like, you know, I sit next to the aisle and it's bumping and people are looking at me like, "What are you? You don't be scared. Don't be scared."
Top Gun scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any G force on your body in a regular commercial jet? I mean, for a guy like you don't even feel it, do you?
No.
No.
You know, if you're feeling a lot of G's in the airplane, it's a bad day. You know what I mean? You just did a go around or something or
yeah.
Yeah, you get one. We all got one right now.
Right. We're sitting here with one, although I like to walk around with a little bit more than one. That's just me. It's a little weight problem I have, and I'm going to have to take some off. I understand that. Thanks for bringing it up, Rob.
No, I didn't say that. I got 4.5 today. I got 4.5 G's over at the Science Center on this G-Force ride they
got. Yeah, the HealthWorks display
they
got there.
Yeah, it's like the bicycle and the habit trail. And I got off that thing. I was exhausted. It was awesome.
And what's
the
now you've gone through training.
Sure.
What's the most G's you've ever pulled?
Well, our airplane pulls 9 G's if we want to. So I've pulled 9 G's.
You realize, Rob, when you get back to Nellis Air Force Base and people say, oh, you were wiped out by 4.5 G's, they're now going to look at you as a wuss, Mr. Top Gun.
Does KMOX reach all the way out to Las Vegas?
Of course we do.
Okay. my name's Jim.
They're listening right now on KMOX.com. That's how it's going. You flew over Iraq. You were part of, what was it called, Operation Southern?
Southern Watch was started right after Desert Storm, so back in 91, 92, when Iraq, Saddam Hussein was down in the south trying to punish the Shiites down in the marshes and fly helicopters, attempted to drop chemical weapons on them. So we established a no-fly zone to prevent him from waging an ethnic war.
Right. So we had one in the north and one in the south.
That's right.
And when you would
fly 11, 12 years.
And you flew those sorties for how long?
Well, I did three full deployments for Southern Watch. I was always – it always seemed to work out. I was in the south.
Mm-hmm.
So three deployments. They were about 100 days apiece, 97, 98, 2000. And then in 2002, we went back over for my fourth rotation, which was Southern Watch evolved into – what's known as Southern Focus, and then evolved into Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Okay.
So I was there for shock and awe and all that stuff.
But let's go back to the 90s for no-fly zone.
Which
part
is a lot
of
– a lot of people don't know about that. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I was aware of it as it was going on, but I don't quite understand what kind of threat you guys had to face because he didn't have an Air Force, did he?
He did. I mean, he had an Air Force. It was confined to – well, Keeping it in context, you're right. I mean, his Air Force took a real pounding in Desert Storm.
I mean, we got more kids with remote control planes in this country than he had, right?
Well, we shot down 34 airplanes. He crashed a few, and then he flew a bunch to his buddy Iran, never got him back.
Yeah.
But he still had, I don't know, I can't remember the numbers. I mean, he still had five active bases with mostly old Soviet gear, a lot of French aircraft, a lot of, I mean, we found out after the war he was still getting supplies through the black market.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a, I would hesitate to call it respectable, but he had an Air Force that could pose a threat.
Did you ever encounter them?
Sure. I ran across a guy in 1997, and we got into we got close to each other. I got told by the commanding officer to break off the engagement. I mean, we probably could have shot him down.
Mm-hmm.
So we were real close, I think, in 97 to shooting a guy down.
What was he doing there?
Violating a no-fly zone. It was a big cat-and-mouse game.
Yeah.
It was, you know, hey, I'm going to come down where you say I can't, and we're going to say you can't come down there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're wearing the uniform, and you can't say some things maybe have to be the man in uniform.
Well, you asked me.
Well, I when they tell you to break it off,
yeah,
what were you thinking at that time? I don't want to break it off. I got him right here. He violated the no-fly zone.
You're right. I mean, all those things were going through my mind. But at the same time, you know, we got to trust each other. So I got to – and the other thing is I'm just an instrument. You know, the military is just an instrument of a grand strategy of the United States. So maybe there's something going on that I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, you know, I'm going to follow my orders.
Plus, the mission isn't necessarily go up there and shoot people down. It's make sure they don't fly in this area.
That's exactly right. So if we could do that and we could keep from escalating it or – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't necessarily need to take the next step.
All right. Now, tell me about shock and awe. You're in a fighter plane. What is a fighter's role in that?
Okay. As an F-15C guy, which are the same airplanes that are down here at Lambert,
yep,
our Air National Guard squadron down here, our job is to do counter-air missions. So we fly normally in front of, in advance of, the other aircraft that are dropping ordnance.
Mm-hmm.
So we carry all air-to-air stuff. We go out and sweep out the enemy aircraft. So they're going to put up defensive patrols, and our job is to neutralize those.
And you also have to worry about ground-to-air anti-aircraft stuff?
Absolutely.
Were they good at that, the Iraqis?
No.
Wow. No.
But you know what? If you put enough stuff in the air, you don't have to be good.
Yeah, that's you know.
Right?
That's
we always worried about the golden BB. And so from 97, 98, 2000, there was a lot of ground surface-to-air fire.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly unguided is what we call it. So dudes, you know, pull the string, gun goes off, they run away.
Mm-hmm.
And we either find it and blow up that artillery piece or target that SAM system, or we can't find it and they, you know, shoot and scoot, mm-hmm. we call it. So that stuff was prevalent all through Southern Watch and stuff like that. So to go back to your question, you know, the threat wasn't necessarily from the Air Force. The threat was from, imagine getting shot down over Iraq where we have some nebulous truce and are you a prisoner of war? You're clearly not going to be treated well. So there was, I mean, it was interesting times.
Absolutely. Did we lose a lot of guys?
Never lost a single airplane over Iraq during Southern Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So we lost some airplanes in Desert Storm. I'm sure you might remember.
Yes.
I mean, there were guys on television that were being treated poorly by the Iraqis, to say the least.
Right.
We lost an airplane or two during Iraqi freedom, and we were able to get those guys back.
What were you trained to do if you were shot down? I mean, obviously, you're trying to get out of the plane and come down nice and softly as much as you can.
Sure.
But then what happens when you hit the ground?
Well,
what was the training?
You know, we go through extensive training. We call it SERE training, Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. And we have all kinds of classified ways of getting our guys out. We may have indigenous folks on the ground that are, partisan to our cause.
Mm-hmm.
We may have special operations guys, Green Berets, SEALs, Delta Force guys that are in the country and they can help you get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can just forcibly go in and retrieve our guys. So we have all kinds of different rules and
but
procedures.
I'm talking about you,
but if you
yourself,
go down,
if you
yeah.
are the guy who ends up who on
down.
The ground.
I will have a plan already developed, my personal plan. You know, the policy guys or the strategy guys, they'll say, here's the plan if you get shot down. You get shot down here.
Oh, really?
This is what you're going to do. Yeah, you're going to turn your radio on in this fashion. You're going to say these things. You're going to head in this direction. You're going to try to go to these places where the enemy's not present.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can customize that to some extent, my personal survival plan. We have great radios that have satellite burst transmission capability that can be direction found. You know, the airplanes mm-hmm. can direction find. And so you're going to try to hide up. You're going to try to get away from the crash site. You're going to try to communicate with friendly assets, and they're going to try to come get you.
See, one of those fit into my entire strategy where I had to devise it, which is run and hide.
Yeah, there's that, too.
Hide up.
Yeah. Run, and hide. Well, the first hour, it's like anything else. You know, it's the first hour makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of like the kids, too, Paul. I mean, how do you get to be a pilot? A friend that I used to work with years ago wanted to be a fighter pilot and was told not tall enough. Are there those types of prerequisites?
Sure, there are. There are there's height, there's vision, hearing test, all those things.
There's not smart enough.
Apparently good looking,
too. That was the bar I had to jump over.
I think good looking is one of them, at least for the kids.
The same criteria for radio talk show hosts. It's like a mirror here, isn't it, Rob? Stud to stud. I'm with you, buddy.
I'm laughing, but not at you, Paul.
Thank you.
Carol's got the best radio voice I've heard in a long time.
Oh, awesome. I'm melting.
But yeah, we do have that. We have all the, you got to pass physical tests, medical tests, and all that stuff. Now, the bottom line is you got to be commissioned as an officer.
Okay.
So you
got
to have an undergraduate degree, regardless of the subject. And then you got to go to pilot training for a year to graduate. And then you go off to specialty aircraft training from that point. So, and it's all order of merit based. So the better you do in pilot training, the more decision you have on your fate.
And you must have 3 complete viewings of the movie Top Gun.
Well, that was clearly my case. I lived and breathed that in 1986 when it came out.
Because you didn't get into it until 92 or something, right?
Right. I graduated from the Air Force Academy in 92, and I was still, you know, ignorant.
Yeah.
I didn't know what pilots did, or, you know, I knew they flew airplanes. And
did you go to the academy because of Top Gun? Were you inspired by the movie?
No, I went to the academy because my dad said if I got a free ride to the Air Force Academy, buy me a Corvette.
Whoa.
Well, you know what?
So
there's some inspiration right there.
That'll do it.
And, you know, he made that deal when Corvettes were like $9,000.
I
graduated in 92, and yeah, that was shock and awe in our family.
By the way, next time someone asks you that question, say, no, Paul, it's because I saw Caddyshack. That's why I don't know.
It's
all right, so now you are in a movie, Fighter Pilot Operation Red Flag, which has opened up today at the OmniMax Theater at the Science Center. What's this movie about?
Well, Operation Red Flag, the title of the movie, is an air combat exercise that we conduct out in Las Vegas, north of Las Vegas, over these barren desert flatlands. And what we try to do is we try to demystify combat for our young guys. So to do that, we put them in the most stressful, complex, compact, crowded airspace with planes everywhere and people talking on the radios and the enemy shooting at us, and just try to make it as challenging as we can make it so that by the time we send them off to combat, they at least have an idea of what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can train all you want. You can talk about it, but combat will never – you'll never really get a full appreciation until you're actually there. You know what I mean? You're kind of hearts in your throat and people are shooting and it's crazy. But at least at Red Flag, we can simulate how many airplanes, the level of communication that's required, the details, the orders, the professionalism that's required, the discipline, so that a young guy who's never seen more than 4 airplanes now sees 100,
mm-hmm.
and he says, "Oh, okay, it's crazy. I know. I need to listen carefully in the brief, and I need to know what I'm doing."
And you helped develop some of those tactics, right?
Well, that's.
Modesty?
No. Well, I mean, if you put it that way, we all develop tactics. It's an iterative process, and our tactics documents are living, breathing documents. And the last thing we want to have is dogma. You know, we want to be modern. We want to adjust to the threat. We want to take lessons learned from Afghanistan, from Iraq, from the Balkans. You know what I mean? And how do those apply? And the other thing is that the enemy's changing every day. You know that. You know, every there are so many crazy things that are going on in the world today, and you know, Venezuela just bought 24 of the most modern Russian flankers available, and you go, well, okay, I don't think we were looking at Venezuela last week, so
mm-hmm.
now you're like, okay, so how would they fight and fly, and how would our tactics do against them? So
and you also got to teach these young guys when they're flying over Vegas, turn off the missile. That's just a Mirage volcano.
That's right. That's right.
You know, the heat-seeking stuff is not necessary right now. There's just a guy who lost the roulette down there.
That's right.
Hey, it's really a pleasure to meet you. Thanks
Same.
For coming in today.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
Enjoy your time in St. Louis.
Major,
I'm out the door right now.
He already did the meet
Well, we're glad you enjoyed your time in St. Louis.
I've been here so many times. I love it.
He's headed to the airport to take on that 1G flight home. It's like nothing to him. Major Rob Novotny, one of the stars of the new OmniMax movie, Fighter Pilot, Operation Red Flag, wearing the uniform of your United States Air Force, here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.